It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name is Blue. Alongside of me are the world famous Pot Brothers at Law, Mark and Craig Wasserman, and Mr. Joe Grande. And we are live right here at MJ BizCon. Big Joe?
Joe?
Oh, is that what you're doing now? Big Joe, and now you're like, hey,
Big Joe
guy,
from the doghouse now.
Big Joe.
Yes, you guys, thank you for listening to the podcast all around the world. And shout out to all my Bay Area folks out there listening. Thank you guys so much for following us online and checking us out on our website, CannabisTalk101.com, as we are the world's number one source for everything cannabis. And if you ever want to give us a call, 1-800-420-1980. And make sure you follow us on Instagram at CannabisTalk101, at @pot_brothers_@_law. Mark is at Waslaw. Craig is at Waslaw Dog. Blue is at 1ChristopherWright.
Hello.
And I am at JoeGrande52. And I'm excited right now, you guys, because we're talking to a very interesting two cats right here that are here at MJ BizCon in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. And they have done so much in the game. We have Pure 5 Extraction. We have George, who's the CEO, who's done more than just making Pure 5 Extraction. I'm going to talk about those night goggles that you're making for the government there, you little creative son of a gun, you. The little birdie already told me. That got me more excited than the extraction. I'm like, what interview am I going to do? I want to know about these night goggles.
I want to do them both.
Well, that's what he's done. But Mark Vuzu, he's also the formulist. So we got George and Mark from, of course, Pure 5 Extraction. Thank you guys for joining us on the show today.
Yeah.
We appreciate you guys.
My pleasure.
That all being said, George, you're the CEO. You're the inventor. You're the man that came up with the machine and all this good stuff. Talk about Pure 5 Extractions. What are you guys exactly for those that are listening and don't know?
Well, Pure 5 Extraction is a trade name of Comerc. Pure 5 is known in the
Get a little closer to the mic, please.
Get up in there. You could grab
go ahead.
It. You could grab it. You could take it. You could run with it.
I'll try. So Pure 5 is our trade name in cannabis, and we've been in cannabis for 7 years, building machines for the cannabis industry, extracting beautiful live resin, extracting beautiful strain-specific oils. And behind our 7 years, there are 25 more years in herbal extraction, medicinal and aromatic herbs behind the Comerc brand.
How do you come up with something like this? I mean, let's go with your degrees and knowledge. How do you have these? Or are you just this mad chemist that came up with it without those?
They got robes.
Yeah. I mean, you guys look like doctors. I need my temperature checked, but other than that, how did you come up with all this?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not. I don't have much background in chemistry, but I'm a PhD in physics, so that helped me a lot. And
so you have a PhD. Period. I mean, you're a smart guy. Okay. Yeah. There is that. And your PhD's in physics.
Correct.
And so what went you from PhD in physics to doing extractions?
Well, that's very close of property of materials, property of machines, building machines, putting things together, like comes along. And I've been born and raised in country that probably 80% of the business is extraction and essential oils.
Where's that? What country?
Bulgaria.
So you're from Bulgaria. Is this where you created your first machines?
That's correct.
And how did it come to you? I mean, how does it one sit there and go, I want to do an extract machine? Do you get a pen and a paper? Do you sit there and is there an application?
Well, for that part of the world, the extraction is something very typical. There are a lot of aromatics grown all year round, and there are extraction facilities in every city up there. So every single month, there is a herb that you extract. So pretty much cannabis got us prepared, and we knew what to do for extracting resins. Plus essential oils, which makes the full spectrum of cannabinoid oil.
Terps.
Yeah.
And my ignorance, Bulgaria, is cannabis legal there? What does it look like there in Bulgaria?
Oh, it's terrible. It's probably the last country that still is behind their cannabis rules. Even hemp is with very heavy regulatory regime.
What are the rules and regulations if you get caught smoking there?
Oh, well, better don't get caught.
He's like, do not get caught. Now, listen, I mean, you know, you guys are here at beautiful MJ BizCon, and, you know, how's the show going for you guys today? Are you connecting with the industry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the customers seem to keep coming back to our booth because they love the knowledge that we're portraying, and they really love the differentiation that we bring to the market. You know, I mean, you come here, you know, a lot of monkey see, monkey do in this industry.
Get a little tighter right there.
Thank you. And quite honestly, you know, we're different, right? And, you know, we're innovative, and people like to see it. And from an extraction standpoint, everybody's come by. They've learned what we have to offer. They're pretty amazed, you know. You know, we're really all about the terps. And what I notice is the people just keep coming back. They want to hang out with us.
Sure. Well, you know, what I noticed about your company, Pure 5 Extractions, is you guys are making a lot of traction, right? Like, I see these rooms popping up as well on, what is that, Clubhouse?
Clubhouse, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Terpene Tuesday
Terpy
or something.
Terpy Tuesday.
Look at that. I don't know why I know that. I mean, here's the crazy Terpy thing. Tuesdays. I see it popping. I popped in actually a couple of times to listen to the whoever's running the room and seeing what they're talking about. And my point is, you guys are doing great things in the industry. You're making more noise where I didn't really know what Pure 5 Extractions was. And like I said, I just came out of my head with,
yeah, appreciate
wait a
that.
Minute, I, only because of what you said. And when you said Terpene, I'm like, wait a minute, Pure 5,
Terpene
Tuesday. Like, yeah, it came to me as you said terpenes. Like, I forgot all about it, but my point is you guys are making traction there. These machines, how big are these machines that you're looking at? Is it something that does somebody could do at their house, or does it have to be in a big old warehouse?
You know, listen, we have scalability. The small lab style scale machine, I like to say, is about the size of a washer and a dryer. Okay. And it'll plug into the dryer outlet. It's 208, single phase, low power, right? We're very environmentally friendly, by the way, when it comes to the impact of the environment. So, and then we could scale the machines all the way up to 20,000 pounds. So, no, listen, there's a critical thing there, right? Because scalability is what we're all looking for in the industry, right?
Sure.
You always want to be able to scale. Well, every business model needs that. When you talk about a hydrocarbon extraction and all these gases that go boom, right, you can only scale so large on your site, right? Because you can only store so much of that propane, the butane, whatever, right on site.
Right.
Whereas, you know, we're using that R134A, which is an A1 rated gas. We can go to 20,000 pound inputs because you can score that type of volume.
You know, you say all these big terms.
I'm over here like,
I'm getting nervous to walk to your booth, God. I mean, Mark Vuso, you're also the formulist for the company Pure 5 Extractions. How does one become the formulist?
Right.
You got to have a little tenacity, right?
You got to have a lot of sex in
you.
You got to have nice stretch marks. Oh, wait a minute. I should be the candidate then.
Nah, that's you got to have a good nose, man. It's all about the nose.
Nose.
So, no, really, though. How do you get this gig?
Okay, so here's, you know, I started actually out in this industry several years ago with a vape platform, right? And I started looking at what everybody was doing and how they're making the oils, and I'm going, you know, this doesn't look right to me. It's not natural. It's not pure. We're not getting the terps.
Continue. I want to dive into telling you how my experience with your product are.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah, just because, listen, you know, I know exactly what you say when you say that, but I didn't know it pre your company. You
right?
Right. Booze, right?
Right.
And so before that, it was just like, oh, they got these vape cartridges. They're great. But now all of a sudden it was the Vuse pin, and it was such a more natural terpene profile. Everything just really, you know, resonated different in my mouth, in my body. Everything that I felt from it was a total different effect than just anything else that's out there, because I feel like it was cut with something else, and you'll probably know all about that a lot more than I will. But, you know, I really enjoyed the product myself, and I don't thank, you know, Brianna and Chris for introducing it to me, because, you know, it's different than most, 80% of what's out there, I would say.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And you know what? We strive to do that because of the goal. The goal is to bring 100% cannabis to the market.
Sure.
Nothing but what's in the cannabis. So, like, we know that for 50 years we've been smoking joints, nobody's died, nobody's overdosed, you know, we know it's safe, right? So if everything in my oil just came from the flower, so that should be safe too, right?
Sure.
You know,
because you're not adding anything except some terpenes to it.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, there's a lot of debate that goes on. You know, they had these cuts where they, with the vitamin E acetate and all this other stuff.
Well, that was
stuff.
A stepping on, folks.
I'm sure I ended up smoking some of those or somehow, too.
and the thing about your product that I really like is the way it looks. It's the black sleek too. There's
sexy.
Been a lot of sleekness, exactly.
Sleek and sexy.
Who comes up with that?
Well, that design is what I came up with, and the pod actually operates in a different manner. It's a gravity feed system. It's not center wicking. Our coil doesn't sit in the oil, right? But the one thing I want to say is it's not just about the Vuse, it's about the oil inside the Vuse.
Sure.
See, what I wanted to do is bring an engineer a product from flower to the delivery to the customer, right? So we give our customers the ability to do that, right? and it's about the total system, you know? And I think we've done a darn good job.
You have.
Because, you know, the pod deals with the flavor sensitivity. Think about it like this. If I'm going to be 100% cannabis, then I can't put in the oil anything more than what was in that flower.
Sure.
Okay, and yes. With George's amazing tech, we're able to get it, right? But flowers only have, you know, 1% terpenes or less, or sometimes a little bit more, but it translates into 3%, 4% or 5% in our oils. Most vape cartridges can't handle that. They need higher terps. That's why they put so much terp in there, right? The coils can't reproduce that accurate of a flavor.
Sure.
This device produces that accuracy in the flavor, so it just rounds out that oil experience.
How many trial and errors do you have to go to get that? You know what I mean? Like, is it 1, 2, 3, 10, 20, 100? What is it?
No, actually, it was a couple. You know, actually, really I'm on the third rev of the pod, and it was really about just fixing problems that were manufacturing ability and ease of, you know, lowering cost a little bit and taking away, like we glued in the piece in the bottom in the beginning. The glues fail, right? So we eliminate that stuff. You know,
the trial and error of learning it with a company,
but
right?
But when it comes to the oils, now that took a lot of time. Yes and no, right?
Well, you got to taste it,
but,
right?
You know, that's the best part of my job. I told George, I says, if we were making distillate and it was the same shit over and over every day, I would have been gone a long time ago, right? Right. When you pop the machine, you pop that cover, it's an experience.
Yeah. Why?
It's
what do you
mean?
It's
a cannabis experience because your terps, the terps are just overwhelming.
Pouring out of it.
You know, really? Pouring out. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and so they'll affect you, right? The terps are
right off
the hormones.
So the nose
right
away will
right
get
away.
You going.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been
and
in a
every
room like
flower
that
is different, right? Every flower is different. You know, I want to talk about something real quick when we come to that. Every flower is different. So guess what? Every one of my oils is different. And one of the things that we're finding, the only kind of roadblock or speed bump is people think that if it's pure color, clear color oil, that means it's pure. That's not true, right?
Right.
They see the colors of our oils and they go, oh, it's not pure. Well, the reality is it's the purest oil on the market. And what we get is the pigments from the flowers, right?
Right?
Whereas all the color and all these other crude oils or full spectrum oils, it's the impurities, right? So when they go to do color remediation, they're actually removing impurities. We don't have impurities to remove.
Wow.
See, so it's a different challenge, right, for us to be able to try
to
clean that up and educate
and educate the market with what they're ingesting.
But, you know, I mean, if you drink whiskey, right, you got your light whiskeys, you got your dark whiskeys, you got your double barrels, right? You know, you have all those different, even the tequilas now, right? You got your different tequilas. They have different colors. Here's how I want you to look at it. When we pull the pigments from the plant, right, why do they produce pigments? It's their defense mechanism, right? From the sun. Same thing for humans, right? If you live down on the border, you got dark skin. You live up in the north, you got light skin. You got an indoor flower being bombarded by radiation all day long. It's going to generate a lot of pigments. An outdoor flower is going to have less pigments. So you'll have a lighter oil, a darker oil. I mean, you're going to extract purple kush and it's 100% cannabis. It's going to be purple.
It's going to be purple.
Because if it's not purple, then there's a problem. I might be lying on the package then, you know?
Yeah.
And so how do you guys market? This is the Vooz, right? So people are looking for a Pure 5 extraction pin. This is the Vooz. Am I correct on
saying
that?
Yeah, the Vooz is the delivery system, right? And, you know, it's engineered so that we go right from the machine right into the pod, and our clients will put their branding on the Vooz, right? Powered by the Vooz, powered by Pure 5.
Love it.
And, you know, and now we got to get the market to... Everybody who puts their hands on that pen, and I mean 100%.
Yes.
Freaking love it.
Yes.
Mark, what is your take?
I love it.
Really?
You know what I really love is that, and I'm assuming it was done by design, because a lot of these vape pens that are out there are, you can use the battery for different things, different products. I'm guessing that you're not using this battery with any other product that's out there with the pod that's going to fit in there. Is that true?
That's by design.
So guys, listen.
So we give you the battery. Yeah. And we want to sell you a lot of pot.
So listen, before we let you guys get out of here, man, anything else that we could share with everybody?
Terps. It's all about the terps. Listen, this market, everybody can get cannabinoids, not the acid versions, by the way. We can get the acid version, but that's a different discussion. But terpenes is really where I saw the market have a, you know, we don't talk about it because we can't get them. Well, now we can get them, so let's talk about them. Because it's all, here's my analogy, and it's a really good one, I believe. The cannabinoids is the power, right? But it's the terps that modulate the cannabinoids for the prescriptive action.
Wow.
Prescriptive action, meaning is it for daytime? Is it for nighttime? Is it going to relax me? Is it going to, you know, how, what's the prescriptive action? And if you don't have the terps from the flowers, you're missing. And you're not getting the full effects from what the growers. So the other thing is that the growers get kind of killed in this market, right? Because they can sell you flower, but then beyond that, how do we know what farm anything came from?
Right.
But the fact that we offer the strain specificity.
Take it.
The farmer's name comes all the way through. We give a path to the farmer, to the market, to the end user. And now, you know, you taste the Blue Dream from this farm and a Blue Dream from, they're different. It's not all true terps. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, they're doing what they do, you guys. It's Pure 5 Extractions. Thank you, Mark, the formalist, George, the CEO. We appreciate you guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this.
Appreciate you guys. Woo.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101, live right here at MJ BizCon, guys. And let me tell you, it is going down.
Great day out here, you know, Blue. As we take a break right here from guests, I just want to share a story with you that I just seen online. And before I do, I just want to remind everybody about Viscus Vape, the ultimate cannabis vape experience. Viscus is a premier vape brand born in Venice Beach, delivering the maximum potency you could expect from the Viscus brand. Live the ride with the most pleasant tasting, ultra potent, and super smooth cartridges on the market. Check them out online at viscus.life, and that's V-I-S-C-O-U-S. Now, I want to get your opinion on this because this story just jumped out at me as it really resonates with me and makes me go, I can see this. I can see this.
What
I can
is
see
it,
this.
Joe?
And, you know, it's basically going green, too, because it's going to make a lot of money. And we've talked about this, but right here is the headline. Three reasons why big tobacco could take over legal cannabis sooner than you think. Which we all think is going to happen, though, right?
This is my alley, though.
But, I mean, it's right up our alley.
Yeah.
Don't get us twisted. We think this, but there was a great article here online at 420 Intel, and I like this article. We'll have it on Cannabis Talk 101, something similar to this as well. And there's no doubt, of course, that we know, we've all talked about this, that big tobacco is going to have a seat at the table when it comes to cannabis. And I'm going to go as far as saying Costco. Kirkland, I think he's going to have a big seat at the table as well.
That's my bet.
We've been screaming it. We've been talking about it. So, you know, these big companies, and we know the parent company of Corona and Budweiser, they're all been doing this and that. But now here's the three reasons. So I'm going to give you the three reasons that they're putting here that I really like.
Sure.
And kind of what we've been discussing throughout the shows here and there. But I like the line that says, sooner than you think. Because, you know, here's what's going on with this whole thing, the decreasing acceptance of smoking. So the decreasing acceptance of smoking tobacco, that is, right? So that's the first big headline reason. And it's no secret that smoking isn't as popular as it used to be. People aren't smoking cigarettes like it used to be. You know what I mean? Cats used to smoke cigarettes in the house back in the day.
Yeah, in the house, everywhere.
And you still see it.
On the airplanes.
On the airplanes,
yeah,
dog.
It was that.
That is so crazy when you say that out loud because it's so true.
Dude,
people used to smoke ashtrays in your fucking airplane.
Yes, dude.
How
everywhere.
Disgusting
is
that?
It was so common.
Right?
It was just common.
It was just a big thing. So there's no surprise, as I like this stat that's out here, that research from the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention recently reported that smoking in the U.S. decreased from 20.9% to 14%. Now, this is from 2005 to 2019 is what the research shows here. Now, I would imagine that the research is even probably lower now than 14%.
Sure.
But, of course, there's still a lot of smokers out there, and there's also no shortage of reasons for the nationwide decrease of smokers, right, from the health problems, emphysema, heart disease. I mean, your father passed away from a disease similar to this.
Yeah.
And to the fact that smoking has been banned in most public places like bars, restaurants, and everything else like that.
Everywhere.
So smoking cigarettes isn't as popular as we think. So that being said, the decreasing acceptance of smoking is one of the number one reasons why now they're not smoking
tobacco cigarettes, what are they going to be smoking? A little package of cannabis cigarettes. And I love, we've seen these cartridges of things. Mini Mike's has a beautiful one at Butter, if you want to go there. OG Louis the 13th has his high-end hand-rolled in a
glass
little,
tips.
Looks like a basically a pack of cigarettes. And what do you have there, Pitt?
Oh, Kyle Turley's got a
is
brand.
Is that Kyle Turley's?
What? Al Blunto?
Al Blunto's. So they're coming out, and there's a lot of different ones. I believe you're right, which is Revenant.
Revenant. Shout out Revenant to Revenant.
Has a guys. Package of something like that. So a lot of people that are in the cannabis game are trying to get to that factor. But here's the other thing why, and when we say get to that factor, their marketing, which has been so key for the tobacco industry for years, which is like we're describing and kind of talking about why big tobacco is going to have a seat at the table, because they're packaging it like a pack of cigarettes.
Sure.
A pack of joints.
Well, it,
so, and you have
common,
a safer, better place.
Feel, it makes you feel like something you recognize.
It's
you
a
know?
Common buy. You see it on the shelf, and you're like, oh, wow, I'm not going to buy cigarettes. I'm going to buy a pack of joints.
Yeah.
How great. Those little what are they called again from that butter they had?
Mini Mike's.
Mini Mike's is a great one, you guys, because I don't know if you can find them at every dispensary, but Mini Mike's are so dope because they're like a 5 to 6 hitter, maybe, if that. Little hitters, too. It's not a big hit.
No.
They're little, they're not pinners, but they're good little hits that I think are a perfect size for what we're talking about. And I really like them. I mean, they're approximately, the Mini Mike's are about maybe an inch, if that. No, they're about 2 inches.
The
smoking part is about an inch, and the smoke.
Well, you know, Pitt liked them because they're all gone.
Yeah, Pitt just handed us one.
There's one left. And there's one in there.
And they come with little matches in
they're
there.
Perfect for somebody personal, though. It's like a personal.
It's
like,
a personal little couple hits.
Yes, and I like personal because, you know.
I feel like this is your type of joint smoker.
Well, that's always been.
This is for blue smoke.
Yeah, this has always been. Like, if I want something, I just want a little pinner. And honestly, you know, a thin, small pinner that we can hit with our family or a friend or just yourself. You know, it doesn't have to be a big old hoot or hoot that everybody has to share on. What's up?
And like, as you hold on, that mic's not on right there. So either come to mine or come to Blue's. Say that again.
A dog walker.
Yes, these are definitely a dog walker. The thing I like about Mini Mics too, that thank you, Pitt, for handing me this so I can describe, which is a personal little stupid touch that everybody listening, if you're going to do this, they have this childproof little thing. Look at this. It doesn't come out.
Yeah.
And meaning if you have a carton or a box of cigarettes, they open up so easy. A lot of boxes just open up real easy.
Sure.
This little box doesn't open up. As you can see, I'm dangling it, trying to toss it open. I'm shaking it literally, folks, right now. But you have to hit this little release button, and then it slides out.
Right. And then it's still not easy.
And it's not easy. You really got to use a man touch, unlike I'm doing right now. Oh, and you got to hit it on the right side. I was hitting the wrong side. So my point is, I like this childproofness for getting into this pack carton of, you know, rolled joints, mini ones. So Mini Mics, props to you on that. So as I get back to the story right here, the other reason why they're going to get a seat at the table so well and so good is big tobacco, no secret, can afford to enter the market.
Sure.
So when big tobacco can afford to buy a huge farm, a huge distribution, they have the paper to step in and say, hey, you that's doing so good, we want to buy that for $30 million.
Yeah.
And they can do that.
And not only that, though, is...
And
is,
take it over.
When you talk about, like, distribution chain and you know, being able to transport it on a federal level, meaning that you can go state to state and create a brand and actually get it out to the stores. And I often want people to remember this about big tobacco. Right now, you can walk out of your house, go to any liquor store. You can go to any Costco. You can go to any...
gas station?
Smoke shop, gas station, and get a pack of smokes. Now, we also know cannabis is much more healthier for us, and it's, you know, and so now that the cannabis is becoming more of a daily smoking thing.
And more accepted now?
And more accepted.
Not fully accepted, but more accepted.
It's definitely more accepted. So where's the distribution going to go? Just to those dispensaries, or are they going to open it up to all these liquor stores, gas stations, everywhere? So the distribution level is going to go on a massive level in order for the big boys to play, because there's not enough acquisition price for that. They can't come in and go, well, I'm just going to sell it. The 350 stores or the 500 stores in California? No, there's thousands of stores.
And look
all
how these
the
tobacco
country.
Companies are already rolling up all these cigarettes. They're going to manufacture and figure out a way to massively roll joints
and massively push it out. They already figured it out. It's just waiting for the regulations
to happen. So as they say, it's sooner than later. Why would it be sooner or later? The number two reason, because big tobacco can afford to enter the market. The third reason, which I love, and we're kind of already discussing it right now, they're familiar with the work that goes into the production. So when you look at what these cannabis companies are doing, and to just elaborate a little bit more, Blue, on everything that you're just saying, is that these companies know how to do that state to state, country to country, for God's sakes.
They know how to roll it out.
They know how to get it to each department that you just mentioned.
Man.
They know how to get it there to the right distribution centers to then get it to the right stores.
Yeah.
So when it
quality
goes massive
control,
and goes big, these companies already have a proven formula.
It's infrastructure.
That works. The infrastructure is there.
Yep.
So when it does roll out, who's going to be one of the biggers and betters to do it? Of course. There's no secret, folks. It's going to be who? The tobacco companies. Why? Because they're already doing it.
And
they replace the tobacco with the cannabis.
Yeah, and you know who said it too is Gary Vee, is the alcohol industry is going to come in too and become...
They're another one that could do it all.
So you, right now, the infusion of alcohol and cannabis isn't been regulated and it hasn't been allowed in the United States. And the reason why is because there's not enough sophisticated players that are in that space in order to actually develop it, right? Because if the alcohol companies started coming in and they started pushing for it and lobbying to have, you know, a spritzer with it and be able to have a little bit of vodka, 2% vodka and 3% cannabis, and they have the right dosing down, the right testing, and the right formula that actually created a nice buzz that didn't wreck people, they would have it, they would roll it out, and they will.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming.
Not only that. So once again, your three reasons why big tobacco could take over legal cannabis sooner than you think. Number uno, the decreasing acceptance of smoking. Cats ain't smoking cigarettes like they used to. I mean, I still smoke my cigars, and sometimes I feel funny doing it. Big tobacco could afford to enter the market. We all know that. They're no secret. They ain't hurting on money. And they're familiar with the work that goes into the production. I'm Joe Grande. It's Cannabis Talk 101. That's your Go Green moment. When we come back, I got Blue with somebody who's making waves over there.
Rocket seats, keep it locked.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. We keep it lit right here at MJ BizCon. Guys, check this out, guys. If you're looking to find out who's making waves, Cannabis Talk 101 is the place to be. And as we are all the way live from Las Vegas, Nevada, let me tell you guys this, man. 5 years after legalization in California, you can hear people like Justin Bieber having products. You got people like Seth Rogen having products. And it's amazing.
I like that Justin Bieber got the game.
Can I love it.
And once again, I got my
girls in California.
That song that he came out with before he comes out with his brand. But not only that, dude, he allows the soccer moms. Like I say soccer moms because he's just so well-versed and so well-loved nationally from so many different people that when he enters the game, even though he went through his little bad boy phase,
he had some rough times.
Yeah,
it was drugs.
It was the harder stuff. It wasn't cannabis, you know what I'm saying?
So he
now, though, makes it more normalized. And because of the way he's been carrying himself lately, he makes cannabis look good, in my opinion.
Well, there's a switch, right? And he's on some gospel things right now.
Oh, dude, I tell you, when I hear that, it's so funny when you say that because I hear
record,
the songs.
Yeah.
I got chills right now.
Yeah.
Remember, I played that for you. When I hear this song with him and Chance, the rapper, I literally get chills. And I borderline, all BS aside, I've cried listening to it because it feels like it takes me to a place when I used to party hard and I found the Lord and I found a change in my life. And I swear to God, that song takes me there.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel something.
Feel good, right?
Yeah, good. Like you're
just
changing. You're
life.
In the right direction. You're doing the right thing, Bieber. You're with Chance the Rapper, who's a dope dude, too.
He's great,
I love it. So he's making all the right moves, and you're right with all these other guys, too.
But here's the reality, though, right? So California, and speaking of just California, right? Is that, you know, it's been accepted as that there's a legal market here. But unfortunately, the boom is more profitable in the illegal illicit market than it is in the...
Isn't that crazy to think that?
How
many billions of dollars is being made in the legal market, folks?
And it's still...
The black market is still popping.
Majority market remains underground about 80 to 90%, guys.
Is that what the stats are now?
80 to 90%. There's cafes, there's edibles, there's you know, seltzers, there's all kinds of crossfades. You can do whatever you want in this market. But right now, 80 to 90% is still, you know, they're still saying that 80 to 90% is through the illicit market. And because of Proposition 215 and 1964 when they passed this, the problems is there's too much taxes, right? And there's criminal taxes. And we often talk about this, but a lot of people don't really get it, meaning that these operators that are still in the clear market, right? What are you going to say, the real market, not the illegal market?
When you say clear, you're representing the legal market.
No,
right?
The illegal market is the legacy market.
Legacy. What do you mean by clear, though?
I don't clear meaning they're doing it the right way.
Okay, clear. That's what I meant. The legal way. Okay, yeah, that's what I just want to follow.
They're doing everything open. Right. You know, they can see right through everything they're doing. They're tracking and tracing. They're following protocols. They're doing everything legit. Now, not to say that some of those operators aren't making money, but the reality is that the 80 to 90% are still happening on the streets. 80 to 90%. And so what does that mean right now is that the laws that they've put in place are not proper. And Proposition 64 gave them the power to ban cannabis. And they keep saying weed in the articles. And I'm trying to stay away from saying weed, because when you say weed, it just sounds like we're still throwing it back under the, in the 80s.
It's so funny. For me personally, the words don't really affect me so much. When I hear cannabis, I definitely like it more, but it doesn't really...
Boom!
What the hell was that?
Something just fell nearby.
Dog, how perfect was that when you said, I seen it falling? I was like, how'd you time that? Wow, that made me... it was a thing. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Dude, so, the funnier, crazier thing, I thought Blue timed something. That's what happens when you're live on set, folks. Things fall down sometimes.
But let me get into it and say this. The biggest problem I think that California has is that there's multiple cities that still have banned it and have not allowed it. Okay, for an example, city of Garden Grove, city of Stanton, they started bringing it on, but they really didn't. You know, Costa Mesa, when they originally came on board, they didn't really let it become legal. They only let you create extraction or grow or anything other than dispensaries. There's not a lot of locations that are allowing it throughout the cities of California. So the majority of the cities do not actually have places. So if you're in Orange County, there's two places you can go buy legal cannabis. And not a lot of people know this. It's Santa Ana and Costa Mesa.
And Costa Mesa's new.
Costa Mesa doesn't really activate until January.
You don't even have storefronts, not yet. So
the only,
as you say that, there's only
County.
One really right
so
now.
When you talk about Garden Grove, Orange, Santa Ana, okay, boom, you
Irvine.
Got Irvine, Costa Mesa,
Mission Viejo,
Fountain Valley, Huntington Beach. There's all these Newport Beach, right?
Fullerton,
Stanton,
colleges
Anaheim,
where they're big school. Yeah, Anaheim,
Fullerton. Okay, so all of these cities,
San Clemente,
don't allow it, yet California is legal. So why is 80%, 90% of the market still in the illicit market or the illegal market? Is because there's all these cities that haven't allowed it. They haven't opened up the conversation, and if they have, it's been denied. So there's
and to think the money that can come in from these cities, the Cota de Casas, the Newport Beaches, the San Clementes that we've just mentioned that have multi-million-dollar homes where you got ocean views and they got people who use cannabis
all day,
and a lot of old people, especially the ones in
some of them need it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We got people that are having to travel too far, because San Clemente, if you don't know, as we're talking of Southern California, is the last city before you get towards San Diego and you get there. So you got to go from San Clemente all the way down to Santa Ana, which is about 35 minutes.
Or go into San Diego, right?
So, or you got to go to San Diego, which is another 45 minutes.
So the way I look at this, Joe, and I think it's super important for people to understand, is our major hub cities do have it. So San Diego has them. Santa Ana has them. Los Angeles has them.
And Los Angeles has a bunch. They're all more illegal ones.
But not in all the little cities, right?
True.
So you start, Long Beach is covered, starting to get into Bellflower.
I mean, you look at Burbank. Like, Burbank's the media capital of the world, folks. That's where your Disney headquarters are, your iHeart headquarters are, your, big, big major companies are in Burbank. You would think, how about Burbank?
Van
no,
Nuys.
But you got to go to another adjacent city, which, thank God, they're very close.
Sure, yeah. They
but
are.
They're not
but
in the
not,
big
but
city.
But not like Orange County.
And
not even that, when you start talking about San Bernardino County, they have the same problems. There's only very few places, like in Riverside, that you can actually pick up cannabis. So there's a disconnect there, and we're trying to figure out why. But I mean, ultimately, 80 to 90% of California is still in the black market. Not only that, though, it's getting dangerous. There's activity happening out there. There's robberies. There's all this stuff going on because it's such a big booming industry.
But do you think it's more or less, as you mentioned that, I mean, I feel now,
I think it's a different player now. So
I feel like there's less robberies.
No.
You think there's more?
Oh, yeah. So let me share share with you. Okay, the
what are you doing on weekends?
No, the traditional the market, the legacy market, which is the market that created all these legal places.
Your market, what you were used to doing back
in the
day.
I grew up in, right? Okay, so the difference is we used to pass out 100 pounds to our friends and know that it was going to come back at $4,000 a pound. You know, it was like, here, bro, here's 50 packs, here's 20 packs. We could hand it out to people and know it was coming back. And the problem now is that, you know, everybody's afraid to do that because there's so many new people in the space. And all these new people in the space are like, yo, I'll buy packs. And then they set you up and they try and trap you. And so, and there's people from all over the states coming. Before, it was all coming to a local group of cats. They were all moving them out of the states and it would just land in their states. Now the guys from all the other states are coming in here. So the problem is they're coming into the state now. They're looking for it to try and find these new people, try and find these new connects. They don't have real relationships.
And the crazy part is it happens so often. I mean, I remember when we were in Los Angeles, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. We ran into some cats at Barry's. They're from New York, East Coast.
Looking
dudes,
for packs.
Just looking for packs. Like, an easy conversation. Like, hey, man, you guys know where the packs at? Like,
yeah.
How'd you know we were in cannabis? Yeah, like, why like, out on left field, why just buy a pizza.
Why are you asking us?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and folks, it was that common. It's my point to, for you common. As you're listening. Is it common? We were at a spot. Granted, it was a late night. I mean, when I say late night, about midnight.
Yeah.
And it was a player
it
spot.
It was late. But midnight,
it
yeah.
may be known for some drug dealers or whatever. It was a player spot, whatever, late night spot. But to just randomly ask,
it's a normal conversation
nowadays. Well,
and that's what I'm saying. So the thought process, in my opinion now, is that the black market or the illicit market, whatever you're going to call it, is no longer, you know, a good old boy network. It used to be more of like everybody knew. I could call and be like, yo, my man, have you heard of this guy? Oh, yeah, we know that guy. He's been, you know, working in the game for a long time. Okay, this guy's been working in the game. Right now, everybody's working in the game. You got all these kids that are growing up that are just like, yo, it's the thing to do. It's a cash grab versus like it was all coming in from Northern California or Canada or right here in Southern California. And there was
big hubs of normal people that you knew. And you could drop a couple names.
You could
find out
if they were worthy.
People are just jumping in the game. Well, I can push that then, too.
And don't get me wrong. It was more like this. If someone was going to get you back in those days, it was like, yo, they, you know, let me get 20 pounds. Okay, cool. They get 20 pounds, and then they just disappear. Right? That's cool. Right? It happens.
As long as they pay you.
But now it's like, yo, they're going to put they're robbing people. And so we have to be conscious and be careful out there, guys. And seriously, man, there's so many entrepreneurs that are really good at moving cannabis on the illicit market. And so what I would highly suggest is that they just start getting involved in the clear market, the legit market.
And for those that are listening that are consumers, make sure that if you're looking, once again, here's our, you know, preface. If you're going to a storefront and you're going to a dispensary, how do you know if it's legal? It could have a grade out front. It could look like a normal store. And you can think and feel that it's fully legit. To find out 100%, you want to go to the Better Business Bureau of Cannabis Control, the BBC, and 100% look up that location. You could type in the address or the store name, and it should come up, and therefore it'll give you, if it comes up, then you're good, bottom line.
Yeah, and honestly, guys, take a second to look to see if they are legit, because here's what we're doing. We're actually promoting the wrong stores when we're buying through these random stores that aren't licensed, and it's ruining the people that are trying to do it correctly. And again, that's going back to your tobacco story. Shows me why I think the tobacco team's going to come in and just swallow
sooner
it
than
up.
Later, right?
Sooner than later. They're going to come in so strong.
Make the price down lower.
They're going to
25 bucks an eighth all day,
gone.
Every day. Our pack of cigarettes is an eighth.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got 26, cigarette joints in there.
Even worse than that, Joe, let me tell you what I've been told that is going to happen. They're going to take a loss for 10 years.
Ooh.
And they're going to take a loss for 10 years. And they're going to, every year, they're going to bump it up a little higher. So that 10th year, they could just wipe out everybody that couldn't hang, and then on that 10th year they start making profits for the next 20 years, the next 30 and 40 years, and then that's how they wipe out everybody. And so it's a sad game, and I hate to say that.
You're right, it's a sad game, because that made me feel sad for cats. But
I mean, the brands will stay around. The brands,
and not only that,
names.
There's always going to be, and I use this analogy, your liquor stores and your high-end liquor stores, folks, you still go in there to buy your Big Brother Jack Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You go in there to buy the bigger label of what it is, because you want that rich, good taste. And that cannabis is going to be grown by a player that you like. If you like that West Coast
brand,
and you know
OG
that they're putting
Louis
in.
13,
yeah, there's brands out there, folks, and in New York and all across
Of course, here in California, we definitely know the big staples of high quality cannabis that's always going to have a spot. And if you're growing that high quality cannabis, which you might be, there's probably a spot for you on the show.
And that's what's making waves at Cannabis Talk 101. And remember this, if no one else loves you, we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.